Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron. Radio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 18th day of April 2022. And I'm absolutely thrilled to have back on the program a returning guest, a very dear friend, and a very generous supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Bill Sasser, who is pastor of Grace Church at Franklin, Tennessee. And he is going to be addressing a very important theme today, grace. What is it? Why do we need it? What does it do? And why do men reject this free, precious gift? And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Bill Sasser.
Thank you so much, Chris. And it is, of course, a pleasure and an honor to have been invited and to be here today.
Oh, it's a joy to have you. And I still think very fondly about my visits with you and your lovely wife, Lynn, especially the most recent time. I spent a few days in your lovely home as I was traveling from Pennsylvania to Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and you and your lovely bride also took a long piece of time out of your schedules to drive me from Tennessee, Franklin, Tennessee, to the Muscle Shoals, Alabama area, Florence, to be more specific, where my hotel was. And it was such a joy. Every moment of that time was a joy sharing fellowship with both of you.
Well, the feeling was mutual. We had a great time. Always have a good time being with you. And we are thankful for you, thankful for this radio broadcast, for all the work that you do, all the people you have on to try to give these perspectives, these biblical perspectives of the Word of God, of Scripture. The fact that you take it seriously means everything to us. And Lynn and I just always have a blast, and we had a great time. She, of course, she lived all of her life in Texas from the time she was just a couple of months old, but she was born in Alabama, very close to the area where we were, and some of her relatives still live there. So we had a great time, and we were able to tune in a little bit over our television, the conference that you were going to at that time, and heard a couple of men speak on that. Tried to get others on there, just couldn't, but had a great time with you, and you're invited back anytime you can come.
Well, that's definitely good to know. Tell our listeners about Grace Church at Franklin.
Well, I have been the only pastor that Grace Church has had, but I've been here 51 years. Seems unbelievable.
Wow.
I came from way down, and I mean extreme, southwest Georgia, about 30 miles from the Florida border and about 35 miles from Alabama. I lived in Albany, Georgia, until we moved here. Lynn came to Georgia to visit her dad, who had settled in Albany, Georgia. He was a radio man, built radio stations, and also did some radio work as I call him disc jockey, DJ. He sold time, and he had his own programs. But anyway, she came there to visit him, and in the good providence of God, we met. Eventually, we married, and we have one son. We moved here, came up here, actually. There's a fellow that some of your listeners might remember from way back in the 60s and the 70s. His name was Norbert Ward. Norbert was an engineer with Columbia Records, but he was a grace believer. He was a believer in the grace of God, and he came from the primitive Baptist side of things and came to understand the utilitarianism, I think that's the term we use today, of the gospel, that the gospel should be preached to all, not to just the elect, because as Spurgeon said, you go out and mark them, I'll preach to them. So we don't know who they are. We moved here. I met Norbert Ward actually at a Bible conference in Arkansas. And about a year or so later, he called me, and to make a long story short, we moved to Tennessee after much prayer, and we lived in the same house that we're living in now. We've been in this house now for about 51 years. So we were up here in 71 and had a small, actually met in a motel room in Nashville and then in a bank building, and then finally we secured a building. Then about 2006, we moved into a brand new building. So we've been here 51 years, have a wonderful group of people, very faithful group of people. Had a television ministry for about 20 years on the Fox network. Went off of that simply because television is very expensive, and we have the kind of television we did not go on and try to sell books and sell tapes and sell things. I'm one who, every tub has to sit on its own bottom. But I think it's wrong to say, God gave me a message and you can have it for $25. I just think that's wrong. I think if the Lord is a sovereign God, and we do believe in a sovereign God, and he's big enough to put you on television or radio or whatever, and without you begging for money. So we never asked for a dime in 20 years. Had a 20-year television ministry, and of course since that time, we went off of television in order to save money to build this new building, which, as I say, we have been in since 2006, and we don't owe anything on the building. It's been paid for. We have no debt all of these years. We're thankful for that. And so I guess the long and short story of it, Lynn and I were young people when we moved here, and we've been here now almost 52 years, faithful group of people, good, strong congregation, have wonderful worship services. The Lord has really blessed us. He sustained us. I had a traveling ministry for about 25 years, traveled all over the place, spoke in Bible conferences. I think that probably where I met you up in Pennsylvania many years ago.
Yeah.
S. Lewis Johnson was a speaker that year, and I was a speaker, spoke on the decrees of God, the views of the atonement, I think was actually my subject, perspective of the atonement. So here it is now, 51 years later, and we're still in good health and happiness, and the Lord has continued to bless us, and we are just as strong now and excited now about preaching and teaching the Word of God. And by the way, Chris, you probably know this, but I say this for the sake of your listeners. We are on YouTube, we are on Ustream, and we are also on Sermon, I say Sermon Audio Video now, because the Sermon Audio now has video, very good, and you can watch it as well as listen to it. So we have that. We have a pretty extensive CD ministry. People from all over the country order the teachings and the CDs and so on. So that's kind of the short story of it. Our son is married, of course. He has three kids, lives about 25 miles out of town. They're in good health. So we're just so thankful to the Lord for all that he's done for us here in right at 51 years of ministry here in Franklin. Franklin is located, of course, just south of Nashville, about 15 minutes, 20 minutes south of Nashville, That's 4052 Arno, A-R-N-O, Road in Franklin, about a mile off of I-65 South. Goes from Nashville to Birmingham.
Yeah, 51 years is a real long time, much longer than most pastors remain in one place. In fact, I am almost certain that 51 years is longer than any pastor I know who has remained in one church. In fact, it's even longer than a pastor who is world-renowned, especially to Reformed people and Sovereign Grace believing Christians. Walt Chantry, he was the pastor at Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, where I am a member. He was there for 40 years, and I thought that was a long time.
Wow, that is a long time. Wow.
But 11 years shorter than you, and you're still going.
Yeah, still going. And we think, this is the way I view things. If we're still here, and I don't mean just here in Franklin, if you and I are still in this world, it is because the Lord has a purpose for it. He has something for us to do. Well, certainly we would believe that when he's through doing what he's going to do with us, why should we remain here any longer? And he takes us on to be with him. So we feel that we have other things to do, other messages to preach, other people to witness to and talk to. And in fact, today, Lynn and I have been talking prayerfully about a friend of ours who has some very, very serious problems. And she had a tremendous opportunity to witness to him. He was in our services this past Sunday, but I think he was offended by some of the things that she said. We sing. We still get up and sing at the beginning of the service. And so we just feel that the Lord leaves us here because he leaves us in this world as long as he has purpose to things to accomplish. When that's through, then I think he takes us. So obviously we still have something else to do.
Amen. By the way, I just got an email from Ted in Moundsville, Alabama, who said that John MacArthur, who is still going strong, has been the pastor of Grace Community Church in California for 53 years.
No kidding.
Sun Valley, California.
Yeah.
Grace Community Church.
Well, years ago, I'm going to say it's been 15 to 20 years ago, we had some folks come to Grace Church at Franklin, and they said that John MacArthur had sent them there.
Oh, wow.
So, that was both a surprise to us, but we were elated about that. There's some differences, of course, doctrinally. Who doesn't find those things? But they're minor. They're not the major things
right
that we feel that Christians should stand upon and fellowship.
Yes, and I would have also some disagreements, especially in regard to eschatology and other things, but those are not the things that dominate Dr. MacArthur's sermons and books. And speaking of somebody visiting your church, you should be having a visitor in the not-so-distant future. My former pastor, or should I say one of my former pastors, who you met and who enjoyed with me a wonderful dinner with you there in Tennessee after I arrived at the Nashville airport, and my former pastor Mark Romaldi picked me up, and we met at a restaurant where you were so kind to treat us both to dinner. He contacted me and said that someone that he knows, I think it may be a member of the church where he pastors, Sovereign Grace Church in Greenbrier, Tennessee, somebody is moving to the Franklin area. And he is referring that individual to Grace Church at Franklin.
So. Well, we'd love to have him. We really would. And I enjoyed meeting him as well. He seems like a fine, fine young man. And he seems like he's a dedicated man, a pastor. I do know we were talking about his family. You remember? He has a big family.
Yes, 9 children.
9 children. So he is he's a dedicated man. Enjoyed meeting him, and I certainly appreciate him recommending Grace Church to anybody that's coming to our area. Of course, that invitation is extended to any of your listeners. We'd be glad to have them come and visit. We're easily located, just off. In fact, you go down I-65 and you get off at exit 65. Exit 65, head east. That would put you on Highway 96. You just head east about 1 mile, almost exactly 1 mile, turn to the right on Arno, A-R-N-O Road. And as soon as you turn right, you see the church only about 300 yards, 400 yards down the road on the left. Beautiful building, looked like a Church of England building to me. It has one of those high 40, 50-foot ceilings.
And you have the most beautiful pulpit I've ever seen with staircases on either side going up to the...
It is beautiful, and it does remind me of the pulpits in Europe. The whole idea, the symbolism behind that is the exaltation of the Word of God, not the exaltation of the messenger, but the exaltation of God's Word, and it was beautifully designed by our architect, yeah. And we have a lot of folks that want to have weddings there because of the way that church is designed, our church building.
And a beautiful neighborhood as well. Well, if anybody wants more information, go to gracechurch@franklin.org. That's Grace Church at, actually the word at, A-T, not the symbol at, gracechurch@franklin.org. And Franklin is spelled F-R-A-N-K-L-I-N. And I hope to remember to repeat that. Well, we have, as a topic today, one of the most important subjects known to mankind and especially known to the church. And that is the subject of grace, a subject so important that you named your church after this aspect of the Christian faith with no other words attached other than church, Grace Church at Franklin. Grace is a word that has been misused, redefined, twisted, and bantied about by not only those in the Christian faith who rightly use the word, But it has been used and misused and abused by the Church of Rome, by world religions and cults. And we have to get to the root as to what true grace is, because it is such a common word. There is hardly any religion, true or false, that doesn't have some concept of grace. And of course, we who are Christians, and even more specifically, those of us who believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace, I believe have the most genuine and biblical understanding of this very vital topic, of a topic where eternity hinges. The removal of the word alone from grace, sola gratia, as the Latin phrase is, one of the watchwords or battle cries or pillars of the Protestant Reformation.
Yes.
You remove the sola or the alone, and it becomes meaningless. It becomes a false grace and a false gospel. So if you could, please define for us the word grace, especially in the realm of how we view this term and this concept as sovereign grace-believing Christians?
Well, I find that a lot of times illustrations and even humorous illustrations kind of cement things in people's minds. And I think grace, I think you're exactly right. I think grace is something that everybody talks about, but few really define. Sometime back, I did a study on the word gratuity. It came from in the 1500s from gratuité, a French term, and also from the medieval Latin. As you've already mentioned, gratuitas, which means freely given. And that I found out that the word gratuity, when you eat a meal and you leave something for the waiter or the waitress, has the same root meaning from the term that we use, grace. I told a friend of mine, we went out to eat, and after eating, I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I'll get the tip, and you get the gratuity. And he said, well, what do you mean? What's the difference? And I said, well, a tip is something like in the world of stocks, buy low, sell high. But I said a gratuity means you have to leave them some money. Well, that was, you know, a humorous way of introducing to him this idea of the word grace. This English word grace is found some 170 times or more in the Authorized King James Version. Probably most familiar is the Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 passage, for by grace are you saved, or literally have you been saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. And I have found in my study that word is used in various and sundry ways in the New Testament. I'm going to expose you to a little bit of that from a brother that's an elder in our assembly, Dr. Nelson Foster. He's a retired medical doctor. You may remember meeting him.
Yes.
But we read, you know, that Noah and his family were spared when everyone else was destroyed. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Paul the Apostle introduced many of his epistles with the phrase, grace, mercy, and peace to you, or grace be to you. You just mentioned John MacArthur. I think that's the name of his program, Grace to You. And we're called by grace, we're saved by grace, we're kept by grace. It's the grace of God that works in the saints of God to do the will of God. We're here today by the grace of God. Paul said in Titus 3:6, being justified by grace, we're made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Well, the books of the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible, close with the benediction and the blessing, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Revelation 22:21. So we ask the question, what is grace and what are its constituents? I suppose you've heard, Chris, about the fellow whose name was John Maddox. He had a newborn daughter who was being born, and he always liked to name his children with biblical names. And, of course, as you know, and probably many of your listeners know, the term used in the New Testament, generally translated with the word grace, is the word that we generally pronounce charis. And he was going to name his daughter, and a friend said, I wouldn't do that. And he said, why? He said, well, your last name is Maddox. You name her Charis, it'll be charismatic. So I think he changed his mind about that. Dr. Foster, as I said, he was an elder in our assembly here in Franklin. This is what he said, and I'm going to quote him. He said this recently to a men's group, and when I get too long-winded here, you interrupt me. But he said, one of my favorite doctrines in Scripture is the doctrine of grace. I think that even though grace is so important, we've named our church after it, not many really know what the word means. The quick and dirty definition of G-R-A-C-E is God's riches at Christ's expense, or, quote, receiving what we do not deserve. But the Greek word translated grace means a good deal more than that. Webster's dictionary lists 11 different definitions for the word grace. You can see why there's considerable confusion when the word is used. If we carefully read, Dr. Foster says, if we carefully read Scripture and try to apply only one definition to the word grace, we will be mightily confused. We don't need to go into exhaustive Scripture, generally, but we should at least know the basic definitions of our topic. Well, then Dr. Foster went on, and he gave three definitions of grace. You're going to recognize these easily, and then I'll have something to say about them. He said grace is an attitude in the heart of God that shows undeserved favor to hell-deserving sinners, that is, unmerited favor. This definition is almost identical to what he's called sovereign election. By the way, I believe that the reason we have to use the term sovereign is because we really don't understand grace. I think all grace is sovereign grace, but we have to use that adjective because we're afraid that our hearers don't understand really what we're saying.
Right, in the same way that we have to do further explanations on what Christian means.
That's right. That's exactly right. So he says that he gives three little definitions. One is it's a spiritual power that flows from God into a sinner and affects a genuine change in that sinner. It is an attitude in the heart of God that shows undeserved favor. And he says it is a response in terms of gratitude, worship, and service that flows out of those who receive grace, and back to God, this grace affects true worship. Now, of course, we know, Chris, that in the 16th century and beyond, Rome and the reformers fought over the true meaning of grace, and unfortunately, both of them narrowed its meaning to an emphasis on only one of those three definitions. Again, a spiritual power that flows from God to a sinner and effects a genuine change and equips him for the task. Second, an attitude in the heart of God that shows undeserved favor to sinners, unmerited favor, and a response in terms of gratitude, worship, and service that flows out of those who are recipients of grace. Now, obviously, I think Dr. Foster is correct when he says that there is a good deal of confusion concerning grace in general, as you've already hinted, and that there are multiple ways of understanding grace as it's employed by the writers of Scripture. But I think that grace may be understood basically, rudimentally, as undeserved favor, or as a power that flows from the Almighty to the sinner that affects the sinner in a radical number of ways. And I tend to see these definitions that he gave more as the fruit of grace rather than the essence of grace. It's kind of like sin and sins, plural. One is the cause and the other is the effect. And what I think we're interested in on this radio broadcast are the constituents of grace. That is, what is the essence of grace? What is it without which there would be no grace? What makes grace grace? So, as I've already indicated, we've got several words from the Hebrew and the Greek translated grace or conveying to us the concept or the doctrine of the Bible's teaching. You have that word charis from the Greek, and then in the Hebrew you have the word hesed, usually translated loving kindness. And I wrote down a scripture here. If his children forsake my law, the Lord said to Moses, David, and those children of the old covenant, and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and don't keep my commandments, I'll visit their transgression with the rod. I'll visit their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not take from him or suffer my faithfulness to fail. Now, that term is probably, in my opinion, the closest definition, or the definition of that word hesed is probably it could be translated grace. The Greek term, translated some 130 times, I researched that in preparation for this. But what exactly is grace? I mean, using the word grace can be similar to using, as we say in the South, a thingamajig. You know what a thingamajig is? Well, it's something like a whatchamacallit. And we don't know what it is. We use the term, but we don't know what it is. And people tend to make grace mean whatever they want it to mean,
right,
rather than what the Scripture says.
Yes, many people have the same vocabulary, but we use a different dictionary.
And well, that's right. That's a good way to put it.
The Church of Rome uses grace, but we disagree on what they mean by it. The Mormons use the term grace. The Jehovah's Witnesses use the term grace. Muslims, and we could go on and on. And we're going to be returning with more of this discussion with Pastor Bill Sasser after our first break. If you have a question, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are in a church that has a different definition for grace than the one that my guest and I embrace. And you don't want to draw an identity to yourself, or you don't want to draw attention to your identity, I mean. Or perhaps you are considering leaving such a church or religion, and it makes you even more compelled to remain anonymous. Or whatever the reason is that is personal and private, and you want to remain anonymous, we will grant your request. But please, if it's just a general theological, doctrinal, and biblical question, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Bill Sasser right after these messages from our sponsors.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
You're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com or call 717-258-4688, 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Why can't we see God? How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Pastor Bill Sasser, a very dear friend of mine and also a very generous financial supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, along with his lovely wife, Lynn Sasser, and the saints at Grace Church at Franklin, Tennessee. And we are addressing the theme, grace. What is it? Why do we need it? What does it do? And why do men reject this free, precious gift? If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Before we went to the break, you were explaining one of the ways to define grace. And that
is, I'm going to give you five constituents when we get to it that I think form the basis of our understanding of grace. As I was saying, grace is like the term God. God can mean Aristotle's unmoved mover, can mean the impersonal force of Star Wars, can be the highest form of creation. I believe if we gathered leaders from the so-called major religions of the world, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, pantheism, Christians, whatever, and we just use the term God, each person, of course, would define in his or her mind what God is to them. But when we say Jesus or Jesus Christ or Jesus the Messiah, then we've reduced it to the least common denominator. We've destroyed all the ideas and the concepts and the definitions of the major religions concerning God. And it's the same way about grace. I mean, where I live, Chris, we have thousands of groups who call themselves various and sundry names. Many of them, though they believe and teach, they say grace. There's one particular group that I'm thinking about. They say there are five necessary things one must do to be reconciled to God, and then you can be saved one day and lost the next day. But they frequently speak of grace. You pointed that out at the beginning of this broadcast. And to that particular group, grace is an aid to one's salvation. And then other people speak of grace in one breath, and then in the next breath they say God has done all he can do, and it's up to you. And if you ask him if they're saved by grace, they will without fail answer in the affirmative. And so there are multitudes of people who have all kinds of strange ideas, nevertheless confess that they're saved by grace. So I can give you what I call the five constituents of grace that form the foundation of it. And we can talk about that momentarily.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, let's just begin then. What I did, I formed an acrostic from our English word, grace. That is, I'm going to allow each letter to stand for one of the foundation stones, and the whole of them together should give us a good idea of the grace of God. And I do think that the grace of God is something that is bigger than a dictionary definition. In other words, grace is larger, really, than our descriptive ability. It's larger than we can say. We can't define what it is, and yet we can know something, I believe, of the foundation of it and the essence of it. So I think grace begins with the goodness of God. In other words, the G in grace, I would make that to stand for God's goodness. In other words, grace has its beginning in the goodness of God, the goodness of the God of Abraham and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Scripture tells us that His glory is bound up in His goodness. You probably remember when Moses said to the Lord, "Show me your glory." I think that's in Exodus chapter 33. And the Lord, in answer to that question, Moses said, "Show me your glory." The Lord's response to that was, "I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." So I'm sure some in our audience have wondered, when Adam sinned against God and the Lord said, "In the day that you eat of this forbidden tree, you will die," and they say, "Well, he lived for several hundred years. What's the answer to that?" Well, the answer to that is, if it were not for the goodness of God, Adam would have been consigned to hell. We know that he tried to cover up his nakedness with the fig leaves, which is a picture of works. But it was the Lord who shed the first blood by killing the animals and clothing them with coats of skin. So David tells us what the Lord saw when he looked upon man. He looked down upon the children of men. A quote from Psalm 14 by Paul in Romans chapter 3. See if there were any that did understand, any that did seek God. He said, "No, they've all gone aside. They've become filthy. There's none that do good." Romans 3 expands that same theme. So this is a tremendous indictment. This is a charge against man, not from an earthly judge, but from the holy judge of the earth, and the one before whom even the angels cover themselves. So what did the sovereign Lord determine to do in the light of this damning revelation? He said, "I'll show my goodness to them. I'll be merciful to them. I'll be gracious to them. I'll make all my goodness pass before them." The Bible tells us in Romans 2:4 that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repent. So I believe the grace of the God of Scripture begins with His goodness. The foundation of the grace of the God of the Bible is His wonderful, marvelous, indescribable goodness. And it's because of the goodness of the Lord that any of us are spared. And I think that mercy is just goodness expressed. So a G in grace stands for goodness. Okay, then the R in grace would stand for God's righteousness. That would be the second constituent of grace. I pictured it like this. Goodness says, "Look, I'll embrace the sinner." But before goodness can embrace the sinner, the righteousness of God stands up and says, "Not so fast." Many people misunderstand the goodness of the Lord, just as many as misunderstand freedom. You know, there's a difference, Chris, in something that's free and something that's free for nothing. And there's nothing free for nothing. Somebody somewhere has to pay for it. And so when the announcer on the television says, "Order this and you'll get a second one absolutely free," it reminds me of the old carnival barkers, "One thin dime, one tenth of a dollar" stuff. So salvation is free, but it's not free for nothing. We don't believe in cheap grace. We shouldn't preach and teach it as though it is. So God says, "No, my righteousness against the sinner must be satisfied before I can show my goodness, before I will show my goodness to the sinner." And I asked our people once, I said, "What would you think of a judge who pardoned criminals as an example and an illustration of his goodness?" He said, "You know, I know this man is guilty. I know he's guilty of raping children and murdering people, but I'm a good man, and I think I'll accomplish far more by being good to this man than by sentencing him to be hung by the neck until he's dead. Besides, it'll save you taxpayers a lot of money." So I can see the pulse of people quickening. I can see them getting upset because they know that that would be a travesty of justice. So the principle found in Scripture is, it's not right to spare a guilty person, and it's not right to punish an innocent person. So to put it another way, a righteous God cannot have an unrighteous people any more than a judge can be thought good when he pardons criminals. So the Lord made that clear to Moses. I quoted earlier from Exodus 33, when in Exodus 34, the Lord came down to Moses and he said, I'm a merciful God and I keep mercy for thousands and I forgive iniquity and I forgive transgression and I forgive sin, but I will by no means clear the guilty. So the kind of God we're dealing with here is a God who will not show his goodness, which is the foundation of his grace, apart from his righteousness being satisfied. Now, I could say a lot more about that, but I won't. The Lord showed his righteousness in the death of his Son. He imputed our sins to his Son, and he punished us in the death of his Son. He spared not his own Son, but he personally delivered him up for us all in order that he might show us goodness. So the third constituent of grace is the GRA, that is God's atonement. That's the third constituent of grace. The goodness of God, this is the first foundational stone. I want to show my goodness, or I will not show my goodness apart from my righteousness being satisfied. And then the way his righteousness is satisfied is through the atonement, which is the third constituent of God.
In fact, let's pick up on the atonement when we return from our midway break, because I don't want to interrupt you in the midst of explaining and describing and exegeting and exalting the atonement. So we will pick right up on the atonement, the A in the acronym GRACE. When we return, please keep in mind, folks, that this is the longer than normal break in the middle of the show when Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they are required by the FCC to localize this show and all of their programs geographically to Lake City, Florida. They do so with their own public service announcements and other local things that they air during this midway break. We simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you possibly can, provided by as many of our advertisers as you possibly can, so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. And we would obviously love it if as often as possible you can purchase the products, you can use the services, you could support the parachurch ministries financially, and you could visit the churches that advertise on our program. But when you cannot do any of those things, one thing that you can do if you love the show is to reply to our advertisers to thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That is, if indeed you do love the show and are grateful that there are very generous and benevolent churches and individuals and businesses out there that think so highly of this program that they share some of the money that God has blessed them with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to keep us alive and going, including Grace Church at Franklin in Franklin, Tennessee, one of the most generous churches out there supporting what we do. So at least thank our advertisers for supporting us financially. But also write down your questions for Bill Sasser and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones Financial Advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And remember, folks, make your first stop for all your gift-giving needs, solid-ground-books.com, with Mother's Day coming up and Father's Day coming up and wedding anniversaries and birthdays and retirement celebrations and baptisms and all kinds of events where you want to purchase a gift for someone you love. Please go to solid-ground-books.com and purchase a gift that has eternal consequences. Remember, not only consider your brothers and sisters in Christ when you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com, but remember the lost folks in your life. God has used over the centuries excellent books that are replete with the gospel to lead the lost to salvation. And there are a number of books published by solid-ground-books.com that would fit into that category perfectly. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by making one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts and yourself an enormous favor of incalculable value by purchasing nothing but the finest Christian literature brought back into print and also contemporary books published for the first time by solid-ground-books.com. And they have books dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, including such brilliant Christian minds of our day as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com today. Purchase generously and purchase frequently, always mentioning that you heard about them from Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to our fascinating discussion on grace with Pastor Bill Sasser of Grace Church at Franklin in Franklin, Tennessee, we just have a couple of announcements to make. If you love this show, please go to IronTripAndZionRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. That is a quick and easy way where you can donate to us instantly through a debit or credit card. And also, if you prefer snail mail, like many people do, sending in a check the old-fashioned way by going to your local post office and sending in a check made out to Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio, there will be a physical address that also appears on your screen when you click support at Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio. I try to remind you folks every day of two very important things. I never want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving to their own church where they are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't curse your church financially by blessing us financially. Please don't do that. One of the main reasons that I launched this program was to be a friend, a helping hand, a platform, and a voice for the biblically faithful local pastor and his church. So therefore, I never want to do anything that harms the faithful local pastor and church in any way, including financially. So please don't give your own church less to give us a gift. And please, if you're really struggling to survive, I don't want to plunge you into further financial peril by you giving a gift to Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio right now. Wait till the Lord blesses you and you're on your feet in a firmer way. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to support your church and family, you have extra money and you love this show, I'm just asking you, if you don't want us to go away, go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally solid, theologically sound church, such as the Grace Church at Franklin in Franklin, Tennessee, if you are not a member of such a church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have extensive lists of churches spanning the globe, and I may be able to help you find a church, sometimes even within minutes from your own house, as I have done many times with listeners in our audience. So if you're in that category, you don't know where there is a biblically faithful church near you, or you have friends, family, and loved ones in that predicament, no matter where in the world you or they live, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question for Pastor Bill Sasser on grace. And that email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. And now, Pastor Bill, right before the break, you are entering into one of the most controversial aspects of grace that has divided Christians for centuries and as to our understanding of it. And that is the atonement. If you could pick up where you left off on the A and your acronym for grace, which is standing for the atonement.
I certainly will, and I hate to be long-winded, but what I was saying was I made an acrostic out of our English word grace, and the G stands for goodness, so the grace of God is built upon the goodness of God. And then the R in grace is the righteousness of God, which means that he does not show his goodness, his mercy, at the expense of righteousness. And this is the whole reason why he sent his son into the world. And then the third aspect of grace is the atonement. That is the means by which we are reconciled to God. Your listeners might know, I always try to be as simple as I can. I think sometimes we make the mistake of trying to go into making it too complex. It's complex enough as it is without us muddying the water. But I think the atonement, the word atonement is literally not found in the New Testament. It is quoted in, it's translated as atonement in Romans, but the word there is reconciliation. Probably everyone knows this, but our English word atonement is made up of two words and a suffix. It's the first two letters are at, the next three letters are one, and then you have the suffix meant. So at one moment, man is separated from God, and by the death of Christ in the atonement, he reconciled us. He brought us back, enabling God to satisfy his righteousness and to show his goodness. So the C in the word grace is covenant. And I think that's the third constituent or the fourth constituent of grace, and that is the goodness of God can't be shown at the expense of righteousness, so it's necessary for the righteousness of the Lord to first be satisfied. That's done by means of the atonement. And then there is this element of covenant, and that is that the God, as one of my friends used to say billions and billions and billions of years ago, what he means is before time, the Lord determined that he would save men and women, sinners. He knew that we would fall. And so the Father chose a number which no man can number. I don't think election means a small number. I think it could mean the vast majority. And then the Son dies for them, and the Spirit calls them. I'm not going to get into infralapsarianism and superlapsarianism and so on in this area. It's not necessary.
Please do in about 30 seconds.
Well, infralapsarian, lapsus from the Latin, means that God determined, considering man as a sinner, and supralapsarianism means that God determined just arbitrarily that he would save certain numbers and he would damn certain numbers. A lot of the old writers were supralapsarians, but it's interesting to note that over 96% of all the historical grace confessions of faith by churches were written from the infralapsarian view, that is, the view that God looked at man as fallen and determined to have mercy, to have pity upon him. And so the question arises, well, why? And the reason, the answer to that is because the old scholars saw infralapsarianism as more consistent with the mercy of God. The consideration of man as fallen seems to be more consistent with the revealed mercy and goodness of the Lord than an arbitrary election unto life without any consideration of sin. So suffice it to be said that the very mechanisms employed in attempting to determine the order of the divine decrees, that's really an exercise in futility. First of all, because the Lord doesn't think thoughts in succession like we do, this thought, that thought, the other thought. And secondly, because the secret things of the Lord belong to the Lord, according to Deuteronomy 29:29. So I don't think that should concern us. The fact of the matter is, it is God's goodness, not at the expense of his righteousness. His righteousness was satisfied by the atonement. The atonement was determined in the covenant of grace. And then the E in grace could stand for a number of things, but I have, in order to balance this thing of grace, I have made it to represent or stand for not the elect, but everyone that is thirsty. So I think that the grace of God has been shown. As far as I know, there's no one ever in the history of the world that's ever sought the Lord, sought the grace of God, that has been refused. Of course, I do believe that the Lord works effectively by his Spirit. I believe that faith is a gift of God, but I also believe that those who call upon the name of the Lord can be saved, will be saved. So that's kind of the constituents of grace, Chris, if that helps any. Goodness, righteousness, atonement, covenant, and everyone who is thirsty. Now, to go beyond that, I think if we went to, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you had said at the beginning of this, what is grace? But I think grace is the goodness of God shown at the expense of God's Son to the sinner who believes in Jesus as Messiah. That would be the way that I would define that. The grace of God includes all of the blessings that we get from God, justification, which I look at as a legal standing with God, sanctification, which, as you know, the word hagios, which is translated holy and saint, those who are separated unto God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are counted as righteousness in Christ. So all of these blessings, all the way from justification to glorification, are included in the grace of God. So the grace of God is the beginning of our salvation. It is the thing that sustains our salvation, and it is the finisher of our salvation. So in Christ, he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. It is the goodness of God shown to us at the expense of the Lord Jesus Christ, who rendered perfect righteousness to the law, a righteousness he did not lead, and he gives that righteousness, he imputes that righteousness to every sinner who comes to him through faith. To me, that is the essence of the grace of God. Well, at the beginning of the program, you said, why do we need it? Well, we need it because we're lost without it. We have to face God, we have to face eternity, and we're lost without it. If I may say this, and again, you interrupt me, I'm thinking now of a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that divides people into two categories. All people are divided into two categories. I'm going to read these verses to you. Paul says to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 2, beginning in verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, in these verses, Paul speaks of two kinds of people. He speaks of the psychikos man. That's the word translated natural. That's the word, the sensual man. That's the life that men have in common with beast. He refers to the sensuous nature, which is subject to appetite and the passions of fallen, unreconciled men. And then in verses 12 and 13, he speaks of the pneumatikos man, the spiritual man, that man which is akin, that has a spirit in him that regenerates his spirit, that is akin to the nature of God, one who is indwelt by the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God, walks in the Spirit of God. So we've got two different people here. We've got the natural man and we've got the spiritual man. So all of us by nature come into this world as natural men, dead in trespasses and sins. And the only way that we can be reconciled to God is by the grace of God. And I say again, the grace of God is that goodness of God shown to us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, on account of the righteousness of God being satisfied on our behalf. I mean, those are the basic tenets of the gospel. So really, we don't have a gospel without grace, and people who never have some kind of understanding of grace can never really have an appreciation of the gospel.
And the reason why, not only do Christians disagree over why do we need it, but other religions, both world religions and cults, it's because we disagree over the nature of man, and we disagree how desperately is this grace required for one to be at peace with God for eternity. Even our brothers in Christ who deny the doctrine of total depravity, they really believe that grace is a jump start, an aid, an assistance, but they do not believe that it is something that gives credit to God 100%, that our salvation is 100% due to his sacrifice as our substitute on Calvary's cross, And that anything that we believe or say or do has nothing to do with why we have become saved. These are evidences why we or when we are saved, I should say, but they are not things that we do in order to achieve salvation. So don't you think that having a flawed view of man and the extent of the sin that enslaves him, it can be just as serious an error and even a heresy as to have a flawed understanding of God?
Well, I agree 100%. In fact, I have said for years and years and years, and I'm talking not only from God's word, but out of my own experience, that the issue that is the key to really understanding grace, at least in one's spirit and mind and heart, if not in one's mind, not in the mind, if in the heart and the spirit, is the situation that man is in by nature, and whether or not God has shown me my desperate situation and need. In other words, I do believe that the doctrine of total depravity, if I ever am enabled to see my helplessness and hopelessness, certainly I would have a greater and higher, more wonderful appreciation for the one who rescued me and the means by which I was rescued. So I think the whole issue, and let me say this about total depravity. Again, you have an educated audience out there, so they're not seeing anything new. But all of the old writers did believe in what we call total depravity. That is that when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, when he sinned, that he died spiritually. I mentioned this earlier today, that how did he continue to live and how did he die? Well, I believe that he died instantly when he partook of the forbidden fruit. He died spiritually. His spirit died, and then death, the principle of death, sat into him, and it took it hundreds of years before it destroyed his body in death. But Adam himself died immediately because, interestingly enough, the word death, if you ever do an etymological study of the word death, it comes from a word that means to separate. And if you've ever gone to a funeral and you go up and look at that body that's in the casket, there's a body there, but the person that lived in that body is not home. They are gone. They are separated from that body. In the same way, man is dead toward God. Total depravity does not mean absolute depravity. It doesn't mean that we are as bad as we can be. We can be worse. That what's going on in the world now can be worse, but it does mean that every aspect of the human being has been infected and affected by sin.
Amen.
The mind, the soul, the body, all of it, including the will. And that's really the big issue. The big issue of the various views about what happened in the garden. I often say that the entire Bible can be understood in what happened at the garden and in what happened at the cross. You can sum up the whole Bible if you can tell about those two incidences. So when man fell in the Garden of Eden, he died, and only God can give life. In other words, I think that faith, repentance, perseverance, all of these things, I think these are the effects of the grace of God, not the cause of the grace of God. We don't summon the grace of God by our volition, by our will, but he frees us up in our will, in our volition, that we can actually believe on him, choose him, if you will, as a result of his grace.
Now, when you said that we are not as bad as we could be, wouldn't you agree that that has nothing to do with any amount of inner goodness? It has to do with God's restraint.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. What I'm saying is, apart from the grace of God, we can certainly be worse.
Right.
That's exactly right. And of course, that could gender a conversation about what some men divide grace up into what they call common grace and efficacious grace. And by that, they mean that all men by nature, all being creatures of God, that there's a type of common grace. And the reason they use this, Chris, in most instances, theologically, they speak of common grace in order to excuse God for damning men. In other words, every man has sufficient light from the creation of the world and from many other means to exercise positive volition to say, Lord, if you're there, if there's a God here, I know there is, I want to know more about you, that he will give you more light. Now, that's usually why people emphasize what's called common grace. Efficacious grace is the call of God, the regenerating power of God, just as when the Lord Jesus Christ went to Lazarus, he had been dead for 3 days. By the way, the Jews believed that the spirit kind of hung around the body for 3 days, so Jesus waited until the fourth day when he got there, and there wasn't anything that Lazarus could do. I often make a little bit of fun of it, a little sarcasm, and say, look, Lazarus, if you wiggle your toe, I'll get you out of there. But going back now to what you said earlier about grace, you say there's some people who take different slants on it. Let me say this. I think it's very clear if we go back and look at a character like Abraham. Okay, Abraham was, his father was an idol maker. We read that in the book of Judges. So his father was a polytheistic, believed in many gods. So how did Abraham come to know and believe in and trust the one true and living God? You can't say he made a decision. You can't say it was something he did. The Lord went to Abraham, and he revealed himself to Abraham.
Just like Saul on the road to Damascus.
Yeah.
In fact, a messianic minister who was one of the very rare messianic ministers out there, who was a full-blown five-point Calvinist, when he was talking about Saul on the road to Damascus being knocked down and so forth, struck blind. He said, you never heard Paul saying or singing, I have decided to follow Jesus.
I know. Well, that's right. I mean, he said, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. What would you have me to do? And that is the response of a man who's been awakened to the fact of who he is, where he is, and who the Lord Jesus Christ is. What would you have me to do? And I think, you know, the thing that I try to guard against, we often overemphasize things, and then when we do that, we have an out-of-balance gospel. I'm not afraid of any of the doctrines taught in Scripture. In other words, the sinner responds to the gospel. The Bible says that the same sun outside that hardens the clay melts the wax. So Paul put it like this way. He says, the gospel is the savor, an old English word meaning the smell, the aroma, the savor of life unto life or death unto death. So when a person hears the gospel, it's a dangerous thing. To hear the gospel and not receive it is to be hardened by it. And to receive it, of course, is to be melted by it and be brought to faith in Christ. In my own experience, I was in the music business. I certainly was not looking for the Lord when I was a kid. My parents went to worship, went to church, and I went to with them. Made a profession of faith when I was about 12 years old, made another profession of faith when I was about 19 or 20 years old, and then I came to understand, to see, I had my understanding opened to the fact that I was a sinner and that I was lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. And I began seeking the Lord, calling on the Lord, trying to sit under the Word of God to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was brought to faith in Christ. So I can only talk out of my own experience. And my experience is I wasn't looking for the Lord. I was like Abraham or some of the rest of them. I wasn't looking for the Lord, but he called me, and he brought me to a knowledge of himself. So I want everybody out there that's listening to know that you should seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. It's not your will that can save you. You're saved by his sovereign will and grace. Yet at the same time, by nature, we really don't have any interest in Christ. When I meet somebody
that's right.
that has any interest in Christ, then I try to help them. I try to talk to them. I try to encourage them.
Yes, I agree with you 100%, and I want to make it also clear that I do believe that Joshua 24:15 is true. But if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yeah.
I do believe we make choices, but only God can enable a dead sinner to savingly trust in him. Just as we read in Romans 8:8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And if pleasing God would include having saving faith in him, and we're in the flesh, we can't have that conjured up in and of ourselves.
That's right. I agree with that. I mean, you know, we use expressions like I feel like I'm half dead, but the truth is you're dead or you're alive. And Paul, in addressing the saints of God at Ephesus, he said, you were dead in trespasses and sins. And then in the following verses, he says, this is how you lived. You lived according to the course of this world. You walked that way. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. So the grace of God is the whole issue, the whole foundation of our salvation. We are saved by the grace of God. We're not saved because we latch hold of something and then God is obligated to take the next step. As I used to hear men say, you take the first step. And I said to a man, well, if you can take the first step, you can walk the whole way. So you can't take any step.
Right.
The Lord is the one who must save us. And I think he teaches us this by this teaching of grace.
Yes. And so therefore, the key difference between those of us who believe in sovereign grace and everyone else outside that, whether you are a Roman Catholic or the majority of evangelical Protestants even, or in false world religions and cults, is we, sovereign grace Christians, believe that man is born or even conceived spiritually dead, whereas those outside of us either believe that he was born perfectly well and becomes corrupt by his own decisions, or those less heretical would say that we are born very sick, but they would really not acknowledge that we're born spiritually
well,
dead.
Well, that's right. Pelagius believed that each person has his own personal fall, that the fall of Adam had nothing to do with his offspring, nothing to do with his posterity. And when we're born in the world, he taught, we are born virtually in the same state that Adam was in before he fell. So that means not only that we can be saved anytime we want to, but it also means that we can be lost. We can be saved on Monday, lost on Tuesday, saved on Wednesday, lost on Thursday. Now, of course, we in the United States, we take a lot of things for granted. You know, think about people that are in parts of the world who perhaps have never heard the gospel. I don't have the answer to all of those things, but I believe that this scheme, this theology that's taught in Scripture of sovereign grace has far less questions to be answered than any other system that I've ever seen and heard of. And I didn't know anything about Calvinism, Arminianism, Pelagianism, Sabellianism, or any of those things when the Lord began to deal with me. I just knew I was a lost sinner and I couldn't save myself.
Amen. We have to go to our final break, which will be a lot shorter. If you have a question, send it in now because we're rapidly running out of time. chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide,
visit anchoredintruth.org.
Welcome back, and Pastor Sasser.
Yes, sir.
We do have a couple of questions I should get to before we run out of time, before we move on to some of the other points we want to make. And, of course, I am very eager to invite you back to finish this if we run out of time. But we have an anonymous listener who says, I'm remaining anonymous because I am having disagreements with some pastors and Christian friends with whom I am very close over some of the issues you have raised today. Some of them have told me that if you are a Calvinist, you really have a deficient understanding of grace. They claim their grace is even more loving, merciful, and forgiving because God will overlook flaws in our understanding of the gospel, such as the understanding that the Roman Catholic Church has, where works are required not only of individuals, but also of Mary and the saints to add to the merit that Christ provided on the cross. How do you respond to people such as this who say that their understanding of grace is a greater grace than you and I have?
I would just take simple Bible illustrations. For example, they would all agree that we are by nature the children of Adam. And the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. So I ask this question. Did Adam seek the Lord, or did the Lord seek Adam? Did Adam call on the Lord, or did the Lord call on Adam? Did Adam make a promise that he would do better, or did the Lord make a promise that he would save him through the seed of the woman, the promised Messiah? Did Adam draw the first blood, or did the Lord draw the first blood? So what I'm saying is that always in the Scripture, it is God who takes the initiative. It is never man. Abraham didn't take a step toward God. Even Adam didn't take a step. He took a step and was trying to run away from God. The Apostle Paul certainly was trying to kill Christians who thought he was serving God. So I say our only hope is the grace of God. And, of course, we underscore this term grace, sovereign grace. Now, I myself, Chris, and I don't want to throw a cog into anybody's wheel, but I have never associated myself. I know what men mean by Calvinism. I know what they mean by Arminianism and Pelagianism and Arianism. I know what they mean by that. Of course, those terms are not in Scripture. So the term that I always use is biblicist. I want to be a biblicist. What does the Bible say? The Bible at the same time says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it goes on to say, how can they call on a God that they don't know?
Right.
How can they call on a God? How can you come back from where you've never been? And so it takes a revelation from God, however he may choose to do it. We believe he does it through the word and the preaching of the gospel. But it takes a revelation from God for any man to seek the Lord. Now, we know that the Bible says, and all of these brothers would agree, we love him because he first loved us. Well, I just expand that, and I say, I sought him because he first sought me. You never saw a bunch of sheep out looking for a lost shepherd. you see, the shepherd seeks the lost sheep, and we call on him because he first called us. We believe him because he gave us faith, and we praise him, and we give him all the glory because he's the author, he's the sustainer, and he's the finisher of our faith.
Yes, and just to clarify, I know Pastor Sasser for many years, and even though he does not like use the label Calvinist or Reformed, he certainly believes in that acronym known as TULIP and the doctrines for which it stands.
Yeah, I believe in the sovereign grace of God. In fact, I think I'm more a sovereign grace than a lot of folks who say they're Calvinist.
as far as whosoever will, it is mind-boggling to me how many evangelicals and independent fundamentalists who are not believers in sovereign grace, how they seem to think that that term means anyone and everyone is capable. It doesn't say that. Whosoever will just means anybody who wants to.
Well,
the question is, who wants to? That's the issue.
That's exactly right. And actually, the passage that is used in Romans chapter 10, let me, if you tell me, if you cut me off, because I know we're running out of time. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Goes on through the 17th verse. Right at the end, he says, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except to be sent? And then it says, so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, see, here's what I'm saying. When you study the context, whosoever, you go back up to verse 12, it means Jew or Gentile.
Right.
When it says whosoever shall call, that simply means to believe or to receive or to depend. And on the name of the Lord, that's on his authority.
Mm-hmm.
That's taken from the prophet Joel, Joel chapter 2, verse 31. Where he says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, George uses a Hebrew word, malat, which means to be delivered, shall escape, they shall be delivered. So I believe that the Lord must send his gospel, his word, his spirit, his light, and he calls us. We all believe Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called. And the word ecclesia, the word from which we get the word church, means the called out ones. So I believe that God calls sinners to faith, and I believe that is the foundation of grace, which is his goodness. His grace is built upon his goodness. We need it because we're lost, and we'll never seek him if he doesn't call us. What does it do for us? It makes us new creatures. It gives us a purpose. It gives us hope in life and in death. And men reject it because they're sinners and they want to be God over God. They want to their will to be sovereign and God's will to be a volitional, weak mm-hmm. will who can do nothing with us, the creatures that he has made.
Yes, the gospel call goes out to every single human, no matter how pious or perverse they are, whether they are a pastor or a prostitute. But the only ones who will come, which will include repentant prostitutes and murderers, are those that God removes their hearts of stone and replaces them with hearts of flesh. They will.
Well, the word of God must be accompanied by the Spirit
yes.
of God, or it will not accomplish anything in a sinner.
Yeah, and to say that whosoever means anybody is able is ridiculous. It's to me, I've used this analogy before. If I am standing in a crowd of people that are a mixture of Christians, Orthodox Jews, and Muslims,
right.
And I say, hey, anybody who wants to come over my house for a pig roast, you're more than welcome. Who are the ones that are going to want to? Are the Orthodox Jews going to come for a pig roast? Are the Muslims going to come for a pig roast? No. So that's just my way of trying to dismantle whosoever as far as what they import into that.
Yes. Men cannot blame God for their judgment and their damnation. I'll just say that. They are at fault themselves, their will, their volition. The Lord said to Adam in the Garden of Eden, or rather not the Lord, but the Lucifer, the devil, he said, look, God doesn't want you to be dependent. I don't want you to be dependent. I want you to be independent. You'll never know what it is to be free, to what life is all about, unless you're independent of God. So you will be as gods, determining for yourself what is good and what is evil, rather than depending upon him. So I agree with you.
And we are out of time, and I think that if you are willing, if you would like to come back, I would like to pick up where we left off, because there are some very important aspects of what does grace do. There is radical disagreement over that. There are some who believe that all grace does is give us a new clean slate after we come back to God after falling, and we are back on the treadmill of works. The others believe that grace does not transform a person and does not really make that person a new creature in Christ, and therefore they will say that a person can live like Satan his entire life, and that person will still go to heaven because of grace. So obviously there are radical differences that we would reject, and I'd like you to come back, and we'll discuss a date right after the show. If you could hold on when we go off the air so I could give a proper goodbye to you off the air. But I want to thank everybody who listened today. I want to especially thank those who took the time to write in, and of course, even more especially, I want to thank Pastor Bill Sasser for taking 2 hours of his time out of his busy schedule to be with us. Remember, the church website is gracechurchatfranklin.org, gracechurchatfranklin.org. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.